Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Helen Ziller will be joining us, a Democratic Alliance Federal Council chairperson, talking about whether South Africa is ready for a female president, what it means, what it's meant to her to be a woman in politics, and everything that that has come with. Helen Ziller, good morning. Thanks for joining us. I hate having these conversations on Women's Day. It's like Women's Month. Now we've got to focus on women. Check the box and we've done the right thing. Doesn't it irritate you on some level?
It irritates me profoundly.
Oh, good.
It really does.
Okay.
I work every day. I get on with it. And frankly, I don't think about whether I'm a woman or not. I certainly did when I had young children and had to balance everything.
Right.
But I had a very supportive husband.
Right.
So it's all of these days to celebrate it, as if we can be ourselves on one day or be respected on one day or be considered equals in society on one day. I consider that obviously to be every day.
Right, and in some way it actually makes it worse, doesn't it? Because then we're saying, you know, okay, so now we've got to do this right thing and we've got to put forward this view that is expected of us. But then on the 1st of September we can go back to being our normal misogynistic selves, and then that's cool.
Yes, well, it will show that we have normalized as a society or become mature as a society. Mm. I suppose normalized means regressing to patriarchy.
Right.
But I believe a normal society will be when we don't have to hold special days for women, where women are every sphere, particularly child raising and various other things that men often abandon as being women's competencies, and the enormous extra load that that puts on women who are often working and are often single mothers, which is an extraordinarily
right.
common phenomenon
right. Right.
in our country. And very serious, frankly, the biggest thing that we can do for women as a society, the biggest by far, is for every man who makes a baby to look after that and to take responsibility for that child. And that is what we have to focus on.
How does, you know, when you look back on your political career, you look at people, at younger women coming into politics today versus what you had to deal with when you entered this realm. How, obviously, things have changed. But can you give us some sense of how that has changed?
I think when I entered politics, it was quite a different environment. It was a time we were in the very unusual. But, of course, we had the wonderful example of Helen Suzman to build on. So that was a great shining example. But it was still so that women were very few in politics. I remember when I was a political journalist covering Parliament, Helen Suzman was the only woman in that chamber for a period, the only woman, and it was quite extraordinary to see her stand up and take on all those men. And, of course, I had the highest regard for her, not only because of her ability to do that, but because of her intellect, her insight, her perseverance, her resilience, all of those incredible qualities that women often have in abundance. And it was much harder then. People now are actively looking out for talented women in politics, so it does make the path smoother.
That said, you've experienced and you continue to experience a tremendous amount of, I don't know whether we consider it trolling, whatever that is, an enormous amount of attacks on social media. If you have to look at those, how frequent are those attacks today based on the fact or utilizing the fact that you're a woman versus your politics or your view on something?
You know, it's a good question. It's very hard to work it out, quite
sure.
frankly.
Mm.
Let me give two examples recently. Peter Bruce wrote a column in which he said some nice things about me, which is very rare, as you know. And he said some decent things about me. But then, of course, he had to say, I'm bossy. Now, nobody
right,
would
absolutely.
Call a man who is a good manager bossy.
That's so interesting.
It's just not a word that you would use for a man.
Mm.
And I find that incredibly sexist. I mean, anybody who works with me will tell you that I know how to manage things, but that I'm not bossy. I work with people, and I get to make sure that people understand what is going on.
Right.
I have very clear views. I know what we have to achieve. and I know how to put everybody on the path to achieving it, but that isn't bossy. That is called management.
Right.
And, of course, one would never use the term bossy for a man. I can't ever think that that would happen. I shrug my shoulders. I don't make a deal of it. But now that you're asking me the question, I can give you that example. Just 2 days ago, somebody put a picture up of me on Facebook or Twitter. I don't know which one it was. And it was an interesting picture, and I had a coat on that was slightly open in the front. And the first thing somebody said was, "Yeah, she's got a good pair of knockers."
Basically, oh my word.
Referring to my breast.
Right.
And no one said a word about that was sexist or that was
wow.
not appropriate.
Wow.
Now, you know, imagine if a woman had said that about a man's
yes.
equipment.
Right.
I mean, you know, it would have been quite an extraordinary outcry about it, you know.
Absolutely.
So you get it down again in a very, very blatant way, like those two examples that I've just given.
Well, it's actually interesting because the Peter Bruce example obviously is very relevant and very important. But the interesting thing about that is it's sexist in a way that probably he, and this is not a conversation about him at all, because I think this is a fairly common thing, and we see it often in business where we talk about when women are in management, as you say, they're bossy, they're aggressive, they're, you know, whatever it is, but men in the same position, well, maybe that's expected of them. And that's fine. That's just management, as you say. So one I think is interesting in that I wonder if the person guilty of it even realizes that they are. The second example you used surely must have been a deliberate attempt to make you uncomfortable or undermine you or undermine your role at that particular time.
You know, you'll be amazed how many people don't realize they're being sexist when they are being sexist. They think they're giving you a compliment. There are millions of men alive in South Africa today who, when they compliment you on the shape of your leg, when you enter a room or try and give you a hug and a kiss and it's not appropriate to say you're looking lovely today. Now, it's nice to get I take a compliment when it comes.
Right.
It's pretty rare in my life, so when it comes, I actually enjoy it, you know?
Absolutely.
But it's sometimes done in the most grossly sexist way. You can feel that somebody's saying, "I need something from you, and I know how to get it out of you. I'll just make a comment about your physical appearance, I will soften you up."
Incredible.
When it happens in that context, it is deeply sexist, and people don't realize they're doing it. They actually don't realize they're doing it. They think they come from an era in which that is considered a compliment.
It's so interesting when I work with women in corporate. There's often they talk about the body language thing as well. So when a man walks up to say hello to a woman, I mean, you spoke about inappropriate kissing or hugging, but the other thing is the handshake, where they try and dominate. They look, they raise their hands up and then go down to dominate physically even before any form of discussion or meeting or anything else has taken place. So there's this battle that can take place. It's generally, I'm sorry to sad to say, but guys that are more insecure in their position within that environment that we find do this, but it does happen, and it's quite common that there's a physical dominance as well. Have you encountered that?
Well, I haven't really encountered that, because if they do it to me, it's back. And what I have encountered often is that, let's say I am in a negotiation or in a discussion, and I'm the senior woman or the senior person. I'm a senior person from our side of the table. The people on the other side of the table will also always look at the men when they talk. So they will talk to the men, even though I'm leading the delegation. That happens all the time. Men talk to men, and they treat you as, and they don't even, that's not even a conscious thing.
Yeah, that's, I think, the issue.
They automatically, not too long ago, in fact, I was walking with a man, and somebody came over and chatted to him, and then hadn't looked at me very closely and said, "Oh, is this your secretary?" You know? But absolute assumption from the beginning.
Wow.
Now, there's nothing wrong with being a secretary.
Of course.
My life, I would not be able to lead my life without it. But that's just automatic assumption.
that the woman walking next to the man must be his secretary is the kind of assumption that comes across in many, many ways very often. I shrug my shoulders, I laugh like a bird when it happens. And when, for example, you have a situation where you're in a meeting and the man looks straight at the other men and negotiates, I'm the one who answers for them, and then they quickly turn to me. Because if I'm leading a delegation, I need to respond, right?
Absolutely.
So that happens all the time, all the time. But it's not conscious. It is so embedded. And, you know, sometimes I have to think, do I raise this? Do I engage it? Most often I don't. It's quite good enough for me to have been completely overlooked in the discussion that a man is giving to another man. And then I'll be the one to respond, and I'll do it very professionally and in a very matter-of-fact way. And I can see the kind of, oh, yes, oh, dear, look come over their faces often.
Well, I guess there's some power in that, isn't there? Because you've changed the power and the balance without drawing attention to what the issue is.
Right.
Absolutely. Do you consider yourself?
Well, I've made a point of it. Mm. I've made an absolute point of never saying this is happening to me because I'm a woman.
Right. Right.
Sometimes I thought maybe this is okay. But very, very rarely have I thought that.
Do you consider yourself a role model for women in politics?
I don't know. I mean, that depends on other women. It certainly doesn't depend on me.
Fair enough. I think that's...
I mean, people must tell me whether they think I'm a role model or not. I don't know. I never prepare my life to be a role model, I can assure you.
Right. Well, that might not have been intention, but that's hopefully something that you are. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Helen Zilla, I consider you a role model, not just for women, but for men as well in politics. So well done to you. Keep up. Just keep doing what you're doing.